good down here, I could only imagine what it's like over there in eternity. But I ain't in no rush. I think I better stick around a little bit longer. Let me watch what I say. The Lord listens to what you say, and you just might get what you ask for if you find favor in his sight. But whether we be absent in the body, it's to be present with the Lord, and I'm okay if he calls me home. But if the Lord is listening again, and I know he is, I need just a little bit longer, please. I want to stay around here. Welcome to the Hawthorne Church, Hawthorne family, again to everyone, whether you be a member or not a member here. We welcome you to God's house, a house of prayer, a house of refuge. We find a security in the house of God. We are able to be in a place where he looks at us for who we are. He sees our faults and defects, but he doesn't judge us based upon those things. Matter of fact, he throws down his grace and his mercy for those who will receive it, and allows you an opportunity to have a clean slate in life. So we welcome all of you who are visiting this morning, whether you come from this side of the track, the other track, on the track, maybe you're doing tracks. We welcome all of you this morning. We have a risen Savior who can handle wherever you are in your life, and he will come where you are and meet you where you are at, and he will bring you to where he wants you to be. So welcome. I know I don't have that long because Easter dinner is on your mind, so let's quickly run to the text out of the book of John chapter 20. I want to make a few little applications here, drop some nuggets, as we preachers say, for the church and for the family of God to be blessed, and then we will be on our way. I don't know about you, but I thank God that the world is stopping and pausing for just a moment today to recognize that we have a risen Savior. And so if I'm a little extra overboard this morning in my excitement, I am. And it's because I know that the world is thinking about Jesus. Somewhere down the line, I think as believers, we got to stop, you know, positioning ourselves in judgment and just accept things for what they are. And then appreciate the fact that people still are acknowledging God. There's going to come a time where folk ain't going to want God. There's going to come a time where individuals who are supposedly being with God are going to leave God. But as believers, we're sticking with God. And we're going to continue to do what God asked us to do. And so we celebrate when other folks recognize that we have a God. Do you guys know that we serve a risen Savior? No, I don't think y'all heard the question again. I'm trying to get y'all as excited as I am, and I don't know if that's going to work, but we're going to try. Do you know we serve a risen Savior? How many of y'all know you're saved? All right, I'll ask that again. Y'all, usually if you hit the lotto or something, your hand goes straight up. But let's ask it about your salvation. How many of you know you're saved this morning? How many of y'all are glad that you're saved? How many of you glad that he paid a debt he did not owe? How many of you glad that not only did he pay the debt, went to the grave, matter of fact, he snatched some keys from somebody, and we're going to speak to that here shortly, and then went on back on the throne and said, here you go, my children, you got the victory. How many of y'all know you got victory this morning? How many of y'all know you got assurance? You got some hope? Amen. Everything going to be all right in life. All right, I'm just making sure I got the right crowd, because if I got the right crowd, we're going to preach this thing. John here lays in his narrative, I believe, very important points to kind of, you know, illustrate the fact that Jesus is somebody, that when he does stuff, he does it in an extraordinary way. He moves beyond human merit and understanding and allows you to see that only God can do stuff like he does. See, I can say I'm going to die and be buried and get up out the ground, but truth be told, I ain't got that kind of power. But I have a Savior who did just that. Went to Calvary's cross, suffered, bled, and died, got rolled up in a tomb, but then got out the tomb and sits at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for you and me. And actually, because of my obedience to him, I can die, get buried, and guess what? I'm getting up out the grave. Somebody ought to shout this morning. See, believers, true believers who understand who's in control of the world and control of their life, they got something to celebrate. Every first day of the week, we on fire around here at Hawthorne. Amen. Come on, Hawthorne. Y'all got to back me up now. I'm not going to preach this or put this out there if y'all ain't going to roll with me now. But every Sunday, we come in here with celebratory actions and modes, and we position ourselves to give God some praise on Sunday morning, because we realize and recognize without him, we are absolutely nothing. But with him, we are everything and more. Matter of fact, we understand Paul's writings in Romans 8. We're more than conquerors. It's not enough just to be a conqueror, but to be more than a conqueror. Have you ever just sat and thought how of more you really are? In other words, how God has made you as perfect as he's made you, and then you're more than what you see. Come on, somebody. I'm talking to a people who understand that the God of heaven don't make any kind of junk. He makes you good all by yourself, but when you tap into his other side of who he is, he makes you more than what you first saw when you looked in the mirror. Somebody got up this morning and looked in the mirror after you got suited and booted and thought you looked pretty good. Amen, somebody. But you ought to move past the physical look and see how the Lord has dressed you spiritually. He's forgiven you of all your sins, has given you his ministry and this word of reconciliation whereby you can say, I was once lost, but now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I can see. Things used to go south, and I have issues with them, but they go south now, and I celebrate because I know the God of heaven's still in control. Anybody got any problems this morning? You going through anything this morning? Well, hang on in there for just a moment. We're going to show you a risen Savior who can help you fix the stuff that you're going through. Y'all got just a few moments? Let me drop some things on you real quickly. John chapter 20, I want to read it again just for the sake of transition. But David, you did an amazing job. I appreciate your reading of the word. The Bible says in John 20 verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. I heard a little chuckle earlier when that was read, and I get it, but just hold on. You might just be that one who got outran. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth, that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw, and guess what? He believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Whole lot of stuff is going down in this text, in this narrative of John, but I want to just draw a few points and applications for us this morning. I want to entitle this sermon, if I may, The Tomb Speaks. The Tomb Speaks. And there's three things I'm convinced that the tomb speaks to. The first thing, it speaks to peace. And then the second thing, it speaks of power. And then thirdly, my favorite part, it speaks of promise. When you know that the God of heaven is in control, then this is not just a narrative for narrative's sake. This becomes now part of your story. This now becomes, if you would, real life to you, where now you start positioning yourself to believe in the word of the eternal God. In other words, what I'm saying is when I read this and I see what John is saying about my Lord and my Savior, I begin to understand that there's a message in there from him to me. He wants me to see what he's really all about so that I can know who I need to be in everyday life. Y'all still with me? See, sometimes you come to a narrative or you come to a holiday and all you get is the holiday and the narrative. Well, again, I tell you, God has given you more than that. But the question is, do you want more than that? See, we look at the tomb and we might begin to say, you know, that's an eerie place. But truth be told, first idea, it's a peaceful place. It's a place that says I'm resting here for just a few moments as I transition to where I'm trying to get to. Come on, somebody. I heard Brother Atkins, and I thank you, Brother Atkins, for reading that word, you know, about how when Jesus was up on the cross, you know, he was between the malefactors and everything of that nature. And then finally Jesus, he gave up the ghost, you know, and then surely the soldier said, truly this must be, and this was the Son of Man. And what's interesting, was that you, Deja? And what's interesting to me, it doesn't matter, what's interesting to me is I begin to see that. And what they said is, he saved others. Why can't he himself save? Let me hold on just for a moment right there. See, what they didn't see is he not only saved himself, but he saved everybody else. See, Jesus was moving past what people could see to the unseen. See, Jesus knew it was much more than what our physical eye could behold. See, sometimes you think you got the Lord, amen, and then you find out you don't really have him. Just check life. when stuff starts going down in your life and tragedy hits and, you know, all hell breaks loose in your life. There's a true test to see whether or not you're really with the Lord. Because if you're truly with the Lord, you say, like Job said, naked I came into this world and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the... See, Jesus understood that. You know how I know he was willing to go to Calvary's cross? I ain't going for nobody. I ain't going to lie to you. I'm working on that. I want to say as a preacher, I would do that. But some folk just, you know, they get under my skin, Brother Eric. There's some folk who I just don't see eye to eye with. Aren't you glad I'm not Jesus? Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad he ain't Jesus. Turn to your other neighbor and say, I'm glad he ain't Jesus. See, we got a Savior whom we got to start reaching beyond the pages and start understanding the application that's involved. Let me show you what I'm talking about. It's interesting here that John's narrative, he writes, and he positions the tomb as a peaceful place. Look at verse number 5. When Peter and John finally got to the tomb, all right, Peter had reached it first, or John had reached it first. Verse 5 said he bent over, and what'd he do? He looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Verse number 6, Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. We need some brothers like that, amen. Amen. Some brothers who don't hesitate, they just roll off in there. Come on, somebody. Some sister out there say, yeah, I need a man just like that. I need him to, amen. I'm just saying, just throwing some nuggets along the way. But then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw it, and guess what he did? He believed. Look at the peaceful scene. The tomb was rolled away, and you remember the story. All of a sudden, it was time for Jesus to get up, and there was a great old earthquake. The Bible said the stone, the angel came down, rolled the stone away. Amen. He died on Friday evening, but he rose on... And there was an earthquake that was happening where them Roman soldiers were standing there. It ain't nothing like a Roman soldier. They some bad dudes. I mean, they just stuck. Hey, man, you think of the buffest person you know standing up against the tomb. Put like 20 of them around the tomb. Yeah, man, they probably couldn't move the stone, but, you know, at least they look buff. But imagine these guys here. And the Bible said when for fear came upon them, they shook and became like dead men. But check it out, that did not disrupt the scene inside the tomb. See, there was some commotion going on outside. There was some things that were happening outside, but there was also some things happening on the inside. Matter of fact, the truth be told, when the stone was rolled away, nobody entered yet. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about a peaceful place. You know how I know nobody was in there, nobody messed with it, no grave robbers or none of that? The Bible said that the linens were still laid out there in their same place. The only difference is there was a napkin that was, you know, placed on the face of Jesus that was folded up, and we're going to talk to that in a little bit. It was placed at the head where he was laying. In other words, he was gone, but the tomb was still peaceful. Everything just remained where it was supposed to remain. You know why? Because he's a God of order. He's a God of peace. He's a Savior that says, yeah, I'm going to get up out the grave, but I need you to see that in the grave, there's some things that went down, and I wasn't harmed. I was cool. I was calm. I was collect. Amen, somebody. See, that's how the believer ought to go to death. We ought to go to death, and it ought to be peaceful. We ought to look forward to the resurrection. We ought to appreciate the fact that we can die in the Lord. Amen. I lost some of y'all. Some of you, we talking about death today? Yeah, but we're also going to talk about some resurrection. We're going to speak to the fact that when the Lord, the God of heaven's in control, things are in order. And guess what happens? Mary gets up, and thank God for the women. Amen. Yep, women, that's y'all time to shout. Y'all better go ahead. That might be the only time you get to. Thank God for the women. Because while the brethren at the house having a meeting and then having to go to sleep because the meeting didn't go too well. Amen, somebody. The women rise up early in the morning. And I've read this narrative over and over again, but what's interesting about it, this time I read it differently. I love how God just exposes stuff to you as the more you study and you read. The Bible says she rose up early in the morning, and it was yet still dark. You know what that meant? Mary had been waiting for the last 3 days. Come on, somebody. Mary had positioned herself to know that the Savior was coming. Matter of fact, some scholars suggest that Mary's position, why she rose up early while it was yet still dark, is that anticipation was eating at it to a point to where she couldn't sleep. It literally woke her up out of her sleep. Come on, somebody. You ever just was going to get a blessing and you knew you was going to get a blessing and you couldn't sleep at night? Come on, has anybody been here been blessed? How many of y'all ever just knew something was coming down the pipe and it was finna be all good for you? And you was in bed doing this. Or you was in bed, yeah, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna go. Isn't God good? Mary understood that position, so it literally woke her up out of her sleep and she got down to the tomb. And when she got there, though, she thought the tomb was disturbed. But the tomb was actually intact. It was peaceful. There was only something that needed to be put out the way so something could come in the way. Y'all hang on to that. We're going to need that in just a moment. Because peace brings about power. So to the point to where she had to go tell the fellas, get up from your nap and roll with me. I say again, thank God for the sisters. Amen. I wish I had a church. I'd preach right along in there. Yeah, amen, somebody. But what's interesting to me is you find that when Peter and John run, Peter gets outran. Now, Peter, his name is to mean giant, you know, so he's an individual, a man of big stature. But it's interesting to me that, you know, some scholars suggest that Peter was doing what he was supposed to do and John was doing what he was supposed to do. See, John was supposed to get there speedily. Yeah, I'm going to hang there for just a moment. When it come time for Bible class, when it come time for worship, we need some Johns in the house who will get there speedily, who will literally run down over to get here first. All right, all quiet, amen. I'm on my way to the tombs. Just hang in there with me. But then we need some folk like Peter who bout it, who ain't scared to go into places that seem eerie, places that seem like they've been disturbed. We need some folk to just dip on in and just be curious for curious sake. I need some folk who are faithful to God, who just trust him at his word. I seen a post the other day on Facebook where an individual had put this guy, he was standing on a cliff and there was a mist and, you know, kind of fog underneath him. And, you know, this voice from heaven says, jump. And he's looking and he's saying, well, I don't know. Jump, I got you. I'll save you. Everything's all right. It's supposed to be God. And the man's looking and he's saying, no. He's looking and he's saying, no. But behind him, all of a sudden, the foundation starts giving way. Starts breaking up to where he got to get closer and closer to the edge. And eventually, he's left with no option, so he has to jump. But he jumps and guess what's underneath him? Another foundation. Something that's solid, able to help him up out of the position. But the point is, he needed to trust God. See, we need some folk like Peter that when Peter, you know, heard that the Lord was there, he went a-running. Yes, sir. Amen. You got any folk that know Jesus is in the house and you come to running? How many of y'all still got them struggles out there? I'm trying to help you right along in here. See, you don't need to run away from God. You need to run to God. See, because in God there's peace. Oh, y'all looking at me funny. Let's go 6 chapters back, John chapter 14, down round about verse number 27. I want you to watch Jesus, how he sets up the tomb prior to getting in the tomb. He has to tell the disciples everything's going to be all right. Sometimes I got to tell Halise, baby, everything's going to be all right. Amen. And I'm glad she, when she hears me say that, she's like, you know what, all right, baby. But you know how I can tell her that and she acknowledges that and don't trip no more about it? Because of Jesus. Yeah. See, Jesus makes Stan look good. See, I can roll up with Jesus and be like, oh, we're going to be all right. Yeah. Amen. He said, seek the kingdom first. I love how I get to put it all off on Jesus, somebody. Seek the kingdom first, and he'll feed us, he'll clothe us, and he'll shelter us. He'll do what? He'll feed us, he'll clothe us, and he'll shelter. Okay, I'm good then. Amen. My wife is secure. I'm thankful for that. And I owe it all to Jesus. Now watch Jesus in the tomb. Watch what he's doing for us in our relationship with him. See, if we truly trust God, his word ought to be enough. See, the tomb that speaks ought to speak every Sunday morning. Yeah. He ought to call you up out of your sleep every Sunday morning. You ought to rise and tarry and just wait on God to bless you. I was telling the brothers up there earlier in our discussion in the ministerial staff meeting, I got up on purpose early this morning, about 4 o'clock, Got in there and got to studying and reading. Everything was good with me. It was just so peaceful. Uh-huh. Then all of a sudden, I got a little dreary-eyed and got a little tired. So I went and laid back down in the bed, and I felt just like Peter and John. No sooner than I got blessed by God, I went back to the house. Uh-huh. Hey, man, that's all right. Sometimes it's too peaceful that you lean on your own peace. But let me talk about the true peace of Jesus. Jesus told them, I got to get up out of here. I got to leave. I got to go away. But I tell you what, everything's going to be all right. John 14:27, the Bible says what?
Peace I leave with you.
What?
Peace I leave with you.
I told you the tomb was peaceful. Not only is it peaceful in the tomb, but it's peaceful outside the tomb. Some of y'all say, well, I'll rest from my labors and my works will follow after me when I'm dead. No, you can have peace right now. How many of y'all need some peace? How many of y'all need some peace in your life right this present moment? How many of y'all need some of them mouths in your life to just hush up? I was going to say another word, but that might not be PC. Preach correct, so we'll leave that out. But let me ask you a question. If you want peace, can you not have it?
Yeah.
It's found where? In Jesus. Yeah. See, Jesus even gives us words of encouragement. Say, peace I leave with you. You know why? Because I know if I don't leave you my peace, you ain't got no peace. Wow. Watch the text. Keep reading. The Bible says what?
My peace I give you.
Uh-huh.
I do not give to you as the world gives.
Lord Jesus.
Do not let your hearts be troubled.
I got to talk a little bit to that. The world does. You know, sometimes the world will give you a peace, but it won't be the right peace. Sometimes in situations, you need peace amongst yourself when there's arguments. But instead of that, the world will give you a peace of their mind that is the other recipient in the argument. But you need a peace that says, let's relax for just a moment. Let's step back and see, what would the Lord do right along in here? Y'all got any folk who just always at you?
Yeah.
How many of y'all are the folk who always at folk? I got like two people. Now, I know we're lying, church. Come close. Every now and then, you like to agitate stuff, don't you? Amen. Guido, you and I'll speak on our behalf. As fathers, we like to agitate stuff sometimes. Just because we're fathers, we can do that. We the man. You're going to do as I say. Well, we got to have a little peace right along in there. What would the Lord do in our relationship? If he knows we're struggling, if he knows we're going through things, what would he drop off? A little peace, a little rest. He'd give us an opportunity to get it straight. I like Jesus. He said, I leave my peace with you, not as the world leaves you peace. Keep reading. You still there? We got to get up out of here because I told him I'd be a spirit minute and it's time to go. I don't want everybody's ham and stuff to burn up now.
Do not let your hearts be troubled.
Don't let your heart be troubled.
And do not be afraid.
Don't be scared. He told them that prior to going to the tomb. But guess what they didn't get? Peace. They got in there and they saw it, but didn't truly understand it. How do I know verse 9? The scripture said they hadn't come to the understanding of the scripture yet. They didn't know. But see, what they didn't know, instead of going home, they should have stuck around. Because you go on verse 11 through following in John chapter 20, and Mary hung out. Thank God for the sisters.
Uh-huh.
We got a story to tell. She hung out, and guess what happened? She got to see other stuff in the tomb. She got to see an angel at the head of Jesus and an angel at the foot of Jesus. You know what that does? That brings about peace.
Yeah.
It says, woman, why are you crying? Sometimes you need the Lord to stop by and just ask you, why are you crying? Don't you know who I am? Then she turned around, supposing a man to be the gardener. After he asked, why are you crying? Who do you see? They've taken away my Lord. And I don't know where they've laid him. And Jesus finally appears and she recognizes him. And on another account in another narrative out of the Gospels, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the Bible said he called her by name, Mary. It's me. Sometimes you just need God to speak to you. It's amazing how this peace and this position brings about power. Because the grave cloths were there. Everything in the tomb was calm, cool, and collect. But there was some power that was happening in the tomb. Can I make a visual real quick? Adrian, can I borrow you for a minute? I want you to see this. I'm just going to suggest to you at this moment that this ace bandage is a linen, okay? It's a strip of linen. All right, come hang out right here in the center. Let everybody see you, all right? I want you, if you will, we're going to wrap him up. I don't know. We better not mummify you. Your mama's still looking. We're going to do that afterward. They used to do it back in the day in high school. They, you know, toilet paper your house if you was a new kid, or maybe take you and throw you in the dumpster. I mean, you ain't got a hulk out of it, man. Hang in there now. I want you just to see this for just a moment. Now, let's just say he's going to represent Jesus in the cloth, right? Now, the cloth is wrapped around him. Is that right? Joseph of Arimathea and who was it? Nicodemus. They came and they asked for the body of Jesus and they took him. And they took some myrrh. Amen. And they kind of mixed some stuff together. They put some linens on Jesus. Bandaged him up. All right. You are now mummified. Okay. We're just going to pretend everything's mummified. But what's interesting, if the clothes were the same, how did Jesus get out of them? Watch power. Power from human merit takes off the bandages. Y'all still with me? Power from the spiritual merit morphs through them. It literally says, you know what? I'm beyond linen. I'm more than linen. I ain't need of no help for nobody to get me out of nothing. And it still look like I'm that. I want to show you something. You remember Lazarus, John chapter 11, about nine chapters back? You find the Bible said Lazarus had been dead for quite a while. And the Bible said, you know, they said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And Jesus kept telling them, guess what? I'm the resurrection. I am the resurrection. I'm the life. Everything's going to be all right. He ain't dead. He sleeps. Hang with me. Come close because it's finna get real and it's finna get good real fast. You see that Lazarus is sleeping, Jesus says. So he says, roll away the stone so I can get him up out of there. Well, Lord, no. It ought to be a stench in there by now. You see human power. You see human ability. You see human rationale. You see how we think on things. Yeah. See, Jesus says, I see more than what you see. I wish I had a church who understood what I'm talking about. Because the Bible said that he said, Lazarus, come forward. And scholars suggest he had to call him by name because if he didn't, everybody would have got up. Yeah. I love this kind of preaching. There's some good preaching right along in here. You look like you locked up and they won't let you out. But it's interesting to me. He says, Lazarus, come forward. And in John chapter 11, the Bible says he came out bound hand and foot. And Jesus had to tell him something. He had to tell him, loose him and let him go. Watch power. Watch power. Power says, I don't need nothing to loose me. I am the resurrection. I don't have to have no one raise me up. I'll raise up out of there myself. What are you talking about? I'm going to leave the clothes there to show y'all I did it by myself. I'm just going to morph through them. So you can see in the tomb, it's still peaceful. I was there, but I ain't no more. You can sit down, Adrian. Thank you, man. We'll unlock you. Yeah, jail kind of feels like that, so don't ever go. You know, what's interesting to me, and I love the Lord because the Lord is positioning us to see that he has power and authority to a point to where the Bible said they were there and perfectly in place. Watch the promise. The promise on the dropback of power is the way that the napkin was folded. Lord Jesus, can I preach a little bit? The Bible said that the napkin that was on his face, it was taken off. And it was laid neatly, folded up, rolled up, wrapped up as though it ain't never been touched or used. That's what my Jesus did. There's an Oriental custom, times of old, that a master, if he had servants, he'd sit at a table and he'd dine. And his napkin would be his communicating tool. And he would wave to the waiter if he needed something, or a servant, I need this or I need that. And then he'd also take, and if he was done with his meal, he'd just kind of crawl up and bumble up his napkin, and he'd just throw it down, and they knew it was time to come get it. But if he took his napkin and folded it neatly and put it in place, it signified to the servant, I'm leaving, but I'm coming back. The promise that says, Jesus said, I'm leaving for a minute, but I'm coming back. So when all hell breaks loose in your life and everybody leaves you, Jesus said, I left you for a moment, but I'm coming back. When ain't no hope and assurance in your life because everybody done sucked you dry with all that negativity, Jesus says, I left you for a moment, but I'm coming back. Matter of fact, you got something I left you with. See, I ain't like most folk. I leave you with gifts that's going to bless you. Other folk just leave and raise up off of you. Y'all got any folk do you like that? Just leave and raise up off. Don't leave nothing. As a matter of fact, they done sucked you so dry, you want to give them the rest of what you got. But I love Jesus. Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. I give it to you. And matter of fact, not only do I give you peace, but I give you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. It'll guide you, it'll direct you. Jesus is literally saying, I'm coming back for you. John chapter 14, verse 1, this is not just a funeral text. Amen, somebody. This is a text that speaks to the believer's life, his heart, all the time. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Guess what? I go to prepare a place. How'd you do that, Jesus? I morphed through the stuff.
Yeah.
I went on down to hell, knocked on the devil's door. Matter of fact, I busted the devil's door down, snatched the keys to hell itself, looked at him, said, we'll holler at you, and went on down back to heaven after giving us the victory and sits at the right hand of God. He got the keys. Then turned around and gave me some keys. He gave them to Peter first, you know, the one that everybody outran. But at least Peter went in. I think that's why Peter got the keys. Peter don't mind unlocking doors that don't nobody else want to unlock. Peter don't mind going in and being bold and sticking his foot in his mouth, because he knows at the end of it all, he can be forgiven. He can have, you know, an opportunity for a second chance. I wish I had some folk in here who knew what I'm... Anybody in here need some help? Do you need a second chance? Do you need God just to lift you up? You got to get to the tomb then. You got to see the peace. You got to see the power. And you sure enough better get the promise. Make sure that you understand what your God has done for you. Because when you understand what he's done for you, you understand the words of John. Don't be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you straight up. But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare, guess what? I'm coming back. Woo! I wish I had some believers. Amen. I know Jesus is the only one who ever told me, Stan, I'll be back. And actually came back. See, at 2 a.m, when I'm on my knees and all hell done broke loose, I'm crying and I'm suffering and ain't nobody wanting to be awake to holler at me. Jesus is awake. I can call on him, and guess what he does? He comes to my rescue. See, when y'all snoring at 3 a.m, the preacher is crying because of the condition of the church. Jesus is still up. He says, Stan, just keep hanging in there, Stan. I'm coming back for you, Stan. Matter of fact, Stan, keep laboring. It's going to be all right. Matter of fact, Stan, what size crown do you wear? Matter of fact, Stan, what's your robe size? Stan, I ask you, what street in heaven do you want to live on? I'm getting your mansion ready for you. And if I come to receive you to myself, where I am, there you may be also. I like Thomas because he's real deal. Thomas has to put some objective off in that thing. He's doubting a little bit. He's saying, you know, unless I touch the prince in his hands and put my hand in his side, I won't believe. Well, Jesus showed up. And that was after the disciples went into the room and locked the door. I tell you, Jesus morphs through some stuff. Jesus rolled up in. Jesus don't need a key. He is the key. He'll roll straight up where you think your door is locked, and he'll say, hello, I'm here. Amen. I know some of y'all in your dark recesses of your mind have some doors that you think are locked that can't nobody get in. But let me tell you, Jesus is rolling around, and he can just straight up morph inside and say, are you okay? You know, sometimes we try so many other things in life to, you know, just kind of fix ourselves. And then, you know, when we all done jacked it up and it's all messed up, ain't nothing else there. It's quiet and we sitting there, the drapes are closed. It's dark in there. You eating ice cream and all this stuff and you depressed and ain't answering your phone. Your hair looking a mess and you ain't bait.
Watch it now. Yeah. Been there.
All of a sudden, there's a voice that says, are you okay? And you're reminded at that moment, Jesus is saying, just come to me if you're heavy laden. Let me give you some rest. Why are you trying to dope yourself up on these uppers and downers and all these other pills to get you to sleep? That ain't gonna fix nothing. What you need to do is recognize I got the power. Yeah. And I've given you some promises. Yeah. It's going to get rough, but hang in there. It was rough for me, but look what happened. I folded my napkin after I got up to let somebody else know that I'll be back. And I got to drop this. I'm going to close. It's interesting. If the linens were left in the tomb, what did Jesus have on? I ain't got time for just some hallelujah shouting stuff right here. The Bible said he would be wrapped in the glory of the Lord. And not only did Jesus have the glory robe on, if I may, but Jesus left those clothes in the grave as a bed for you and I to cushion death. Are you listening to me? Allowing us an opportunity not to feel the sting of death. Oh, I got to quit. I'm about to blow a fuse, preacher. There's some good stuff up in here. You remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We'll not all sleep. But in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption. And this mortality must put on immortality. So when this corruption has put on incorruption and this mortality has put on immortality, then it'll be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Thank you, Jesus, for leaving your clothes in the tomb. Thank you, Lord, for leaving them in a place where they were positioned just like it was when they laid you down. Because what you've done for me is created a platform for me to step up on out of here and go on into glory. I don't care what you say. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. And I'm going to celebrate my Easter today. You do what you want to. I'm going to enjoy my ham, my turkey, dressing, black-eyed peas, and cornbread. I'm going to enjoy my day today. And I'm going to do it all in the name of Jesus. Yeah. Are you here this morning? I'm through preaching. Are you here and you don't know Jesus? We want to encourage you. The tomb is still empty. But inside the tomb, and it's speaking to you, there's some clothes there. And these clothes are speaking of peace, and they're speaking of power, and they're speaking of promise. The Lord wants you to know that everything's going to be all right. He's still in control. Everything that he has in his hand, he said, can't nothing snatch it out. And if by chance that it can, John 10, he said, I got a Father who's greater. And ain't nobody going to be able to snatch you out of his hand. I want you to know this morning, you can come and obey the gospel by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized for the remission of your sins. You're going to go out of here today celebrating the resurrection. You can leave out of here today after having been buried with Christ. Your clothes, your old clothes, are y'all listening, can be left in this water. And then you can raise up with some new clothes on. You can walk differently. You can talk differently. You can smile differently. Someone said, I didn't know you could smile differently. Try Jesus. Jesus will help you smile differently. Sometimes you don't got to smile when you get a dollar. You can smile when you ain't got no dollars because of the different clothing that you have on. Maybe you're here and you need saving. Come on, don't let this Easter roll around to the next Easter. Now get saved now. Let us help you and let Jesus be the one to save you. Let us encourage you to come to Jesus. And maybe you are here and maybe you are a believer. Maybe your excitement for the resurrection ain't been so exciting. Well, I just thought we didn't need to visit the tomb again. And let it speak to us because we got peace in Christ. There's some power that he possesses that he's given us some of. And then there's some promises that we can hang on to. Well, your preacher's through preaching. Y'all feel all right?
Yes, sir.
Y'all feel like we're celebrating Easter? Let me rephrase that. Do you feel like we're celebrating the risen Savior?
Yes.
Isn't it good to talk about Jesus? Yes. Isn't it good to know that our conviction and salvation lies inside of him?
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you something. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Because he positions you to be free from the shackles of the world. If you're here and you need to respond to God's call, please do so as together we stand and